certainly nothing is more beautiful or more grace-filled than a man who has a devotion to Mary. I think that for all too long a time that we've done this woman a great, great injustice. I don't mind May processions, right? And I don't mind chucking a football up 80 yards and calling it a Hail Mary. And I don't even mind the Ave Maria being sung. And I've noticed recently how some movies have tarnished the song Ave Maria, and sometimes they use gangster background video when the song is being sung. I forget what movie that was, Scarface or something like that. I don't know. I just remember that. So who is this woman? First of all, Mary is the reason we are who we are. To suggest anything other than Mary was an absolutely courageous woman would fail to understand her life. When she said, "Fiat, let it be done," she was a young, single woman that was allowing the Holy Spirit in, betrothed to Joseph, and the scholars say that that meant that they were engaged, but they yet had not yet lived together. And so, you consider it like a pre-engagement is one scripture scholar's definition. But in any event, she was courageous enough to say yes. Now, Mary is seen as a woman in that moment where it's often, you know, she's like the her eyes are half open, and it couldn't be any more picturesque. But really, like, look at what she did. This woman began the Christian faith. Whether she was in a room by herself or wherever she was, and when the Spirit came, like, her faith brought about a total renewal and grace to the world, to what was needed, Mary. I wonder, what kind of devotion do you have to this mother? I appreciate we call her a mother. But let's also call her, right, a fierce protectress of the Christ child. There's a lot of mama bears out there. You might be married to one. Somebody comes after your kid, and mama bear's got her gloves on. No problem. But Mary is also a mama bear. She is not something that just simply stands idly by with her hands folded and her eyes looking to heaven. So the first is, recognize that Mary is a protectress. I'm going to give you a couple of adjectives, because then I want to have you masculinize them so that you say, am I like her? She protected this child. That's exactly what each of us must be doing in some aspect of our lives, protecting. The masculine heart is always protecting, always. It's inherent in our identity. So first, where are you protecting? When Mary says fiat, she takes on the willingness to say, all right, I'm in the fight with you. I'm in the trench. I'm ready. A Marian love in the church, a resurrected Marian love, not just walking around with some statue and 1,000 roses around it, but an authentic Marian love will actually bring healing to the culture and actually a healing to the church. it's a sad display when you recognize that rosaries are hung on cars and hung around necks, and even a gang wears them now. Well, let me say this. The fact that a gang wears them now is enough to show me that we're on the right path. Because everything that is holy, that is mocked, it's only mocked because it's holy. It's only mocked because it's something holy. And the holier it is, the more it's mocked. The holier it is, the more that it's made fun of. So this first is, Mary is a protectress. Second is that Mary is totally a missionary. Like, I always get these statues where, you know, of course Mary's pie-eyed looking to heaven, but where's the statue of, like, Mary running? Where's the image of Mary, like, going in haste over the hill country, sweating? Like they do in El Salvador, like from one neighborhood to another. Like, where's that image? Right? The second thing is, Mary is always a missionary. She is not a hidden woman in the context of her house. How are you a missionary? Like, how are you being sent by God at this moment? Or are you just saying, no, I'm good. I'm going to wait here. I'll wait here like a pious little statue. In the visitation, Mary demonstrates that she's willing to go the extra mile to share this Christ child news. The missionary, look, it's not easy. Okay? I'm no missionary. But I'll tell you this. When you're running around in El Salvador in 100-degree weather, you start to realize, my God, what did the missionaries of the Catholic Church do? How did they survive? How did St. Francis Xavier do it when he learned a language, when he ate the food, when he went from village to village? How did all these missionaries do it? My second comment, what kind of missionary are you? How do you bring Christ to work? How do you make it clear that you're a Christ-centered man? Now look, you don't get to all work for the church. That's not the point. But what is the display of faith that you have? Is there any display of faith? Because that's exactly what we need. I was in a guy's office not long ago, and he had a little beautiful crucifix that was the paperweight in the pile of his papers, right? It was great. And I said, oh, man, you just pulled that out because I was coming, right? He's like, no, Father, that's been there for a long time. I said, you ever catch any heat for it? I don't know. I said, what are they going to say? It's my old man's. I said, yeah, that's going to shut down the conversation. Is there any public display that you guys have? It doesn't have to be the 12-foot cross, right? Or somebody like, oh, yeah, man, that guy has faith. Because you can't get around it. You can't deny it. So secondly, she's a missionary. Thirdly, she cooperates with Christ. She cooperates. When the Holy Spirit speaks to Mary, she says, all right, I'm in. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to guys and like, hold on a second, let me pray about that. Let me think. And I get it. Maybe you're married and you can't just go all over the world. I got that. But at what point do you just sit on the edge of the pool And you're like, oh man, Father, I was going to help you, but you know, I was like, okay, fine. Get out of the way. Like, at what point do you say, yeah, like, I know this is crazy, but can I try this, Father? Or could we do this? Or maybe on a natural level, some neighbor of yours dies and you make some casserole and you take it over there without asking 25 questions, right? Do you like meat? Do you like chicken? Who cares? Just make it. Just do it. Because once we all start getting all in our heads, and all of a sudden the evil one starts saying, well, don't do that. Don't put a holy card. That's not a good thing. Just drop off the casserole. No, it's not enough. Why are you doing it? I'm doing it because I'm a Christ-centered man. You have to cooperate, guys, with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we get drilled right in between the eyes, and you're like, well, how are they going to receive the casserole? Well, who cares? If it's no good, they're going to throw it out the back window. Who cares? That's not the point. My God, if I sat down and waited for a confirmation on every single thing that I needed to do, like, oh my gosh, I can't go to the hospital because that guy's not a parishioner, but I guess I better think, should I call the pastor? Well, why didn't they call their pastor? Who cares? Just go. The phone rang and I picked it up because it was God's invitation. Just go. Man, so many times you're like, well, is this okay? Yes, okay. Bounce it off your spouse. Like, come on, honey, let's do something. Let's do something. Just do it. Just do it. Because as you respond to those moments, something great happens. God says, good job. Well done. You're cooperating with me. The third point is that Mary is a cooperator. Do you know how to cooperate with God? Little things. Little things. In the context of your vocation. Fourthly, last two, is that Mary had a joyful heart. Are you a man of joy? Are you a man of joy? Like, I got this. Like, guys, just to remind you, this isn't an equal fight in the church. Like, Jesus won. And he's letting these little punks fight it out. This isn't an equal fight. When Jesus has had enough, he's going to step on it. Okay? Just so you know. He's trying to convert hearts and convert their wills. Say, it's time that your will surrenders. And these victims, they are now offering a pleasing sacrifice to God. It's coming back on the evil. Amen? It will always come back on the evil. The greatest line I've read in a book recently was the laughing of the evil one on Good Friday was responded to by God in the resurrection. I just love that. The humor, the mockery of the evil one, you died. And Christ said, yeah, you're right. See you in 3 days. Or I'll see you sooner because I'm going down, grabbing some of them homeboys, bringing them up. You get it? It is not an equal fight. It is never an equal fight. A deliverance, an exorcism, it's not like, who's going to win? No, Christ. Sorry. Okay? It's not like two equal prize fighters. It's the 800-pound gorilla called Christ and the little midget called the evil one. Make sure you're clear about that. It's never been an equal fight. The problem is it's the will, my will that needs to, and that's why the evil one picks on us because he's the mean street bully. Okay? And he likes to bully people. And every act of abuse is what? Simply bullying. It's always picking on somebody less than, right? Like, this abuse isn't like, oh, I picked on the 300-pound wrestler that could throw me through the roof. No, it's usually somebody lesser. That's how you know it's evil. So this fourth point is, are you a man of joy? Now, joy means, is related to Christian hope because I know who wins in the end. Okay? That's the joyful man. The joyful man is this. Ready? You totally wipe out, but you get up knowing that God is with you in the getting up part. Okay? I want you to hate the wipeout. But it's going to do you no good to walk around like glum and be like, oh, I can't believe I wiped out, Father. I never wanted to wipe out. It's like, I got it. Just get up. Like, quit mourning about it. Just get up and start over. That is the great grace that I have seen with guys. Right? You fall in some sin. All right, man. Get up. I think the bigger failure is this, as you guys have heard me say, like, why didn't you think you were going to fall? Okay? I played golf one time with this guy, right? He was a lousy golfer, like you can tell right away, right? Like he came out looking lousy. At least you got to look decent when you play golf, right? At least like matching belt with your socks. Just joking, right? Anyway, he swings, and you're like, all right, this guy blows, right? And that's what I'm thinking, all right, how do I tell him 9 holes? Oh, man, I'm thinking 9, maybe 7, right? Anyway, like the 3rd hole, he's mad, right? And I finally said, I was like, look, I know you're no good. Why are you mad? Like, why do you think you're good? You're no good. And once you accept that you're no good, you'll actually have fun. You get it? I think some of us go through life like, oh, like, I'm really good at something. And like, well, maybe you're not good at it. Instead of thinking that you are good and then you get upset, be at peace with the failure and then you get up with joy. It's totally different. Do you get that? Yes? Come on. Because it's not the wipeout that separates you. It's the response of anger after and the self-loathing that isolates. Okay? So I want you to look in your heart. Like, am I a guy that, you know, has this great struggle with joy? I had a spiritual director, Father Ron Gillis. I had him for years. And I would go to see him all the time. And, you know, he'd come in and he's like, Danny, my boy, how are you? I'm like, great. And I go, yeah, I had a rotten week, Father Ron. He's like, yeah, okay. I kind of expect it out of you. I was like, hey, thanks for the confidence. He's like, it is. What do you mean? He's like, it's a good sign because you're telling me the truth. Thanks. Thanks for the slap down to make me feel good. I just wonder, like, are you a man of joy? Now, joy is never rooted in stuff. Okay? It's never rooted in stuff. And I wonder, can you guys separate the false joy and unite it to the good joy? Joy that Christ has overcome the world. Christ is Alpha and Omega. Christ that you're not out living a rotten life. Christ has given me the grace that I'm no longer living like the old man. You know, it's interesting. Every once in a while, I have to go on a mission trip because then I remember that the world is real. And so I have to go serve the poor. Don't let the little stuff become big stuff. okay? Don't let the little stuff in your life overwhelm you. Because that's typically where the evil one gets you. Is everybody with me? That's where you get isolated. Like, this wound in the church is big, and we know we have to address it. And I have such a freedom on my heart to be able to address it. But it's the little stuff that just keeps playing in my head. And like, I don't know how to get there. And that's because it's little, and the evil one's in that. And it's my pride that's preventing me from addressing it. Joy. Last one, and I'll do benediction, is gratitude. I want you to really work on gratitude. Okay? Gratitude isn't just the mere thank you. It's an awareness of receptivity. When somebody does something for you, that means you are in a place of need. Being in a place of need means God saw that need and worked through that person to give it to you. But the response is not no problem. The response is thank you. I want to say this, and I hope you understand. The thank you that I elicit for what you do for me unites me to the mass of thanksgiving. Because when I can say thank you, that's a relational comment as opposed to no problem. When I say you're welcome, it's no longer just an act. It's something that you did for me, and I respond back. Does everybody get that? Are you with me? Your welcome is a Christian act. It's much deeper, guys. And I'm not good at it. I'm not good at your welcome. Right? Because it's fine. It's just what I do as a priest. Father, thanks for the Mass. You got it. That's not exactly the truth. Okay? Because when I say you're welcome, I'm really saying, who am I that someone could thank me for the Holy Mass? Okay? It's deeper. Cultivate that in your life, guys. Gratitude. Gratitude. And the response is, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. I think it's false to believe that Mary is simply just this stationary plastic woman. That's my point of the talk. And I believe that the virtues I just outlined for you, if they were cultivated in Mother Church, we'd see great healings and conversions. Practice them in your lives, guys. Practice them, please. So that we can really deeply understand the Marian love that started this great grace of Christ in the church. I now invite you to kneel, guys. We're going to do benediction. On the back of your songbook is the song called Tantum Ergo. If you can't kneel, just sit. It's fine. But we'll just sing together Tantum Ergo.